Just for a brief word, Proverbs chapter 30. How many of you are chess players? You know how to play chess? How about it? All right, so few. Okay, so the game is you have so many on a board, spaces, and then players on each side, and they have rules for each player, like what they are able to do, a pawn, knight, queen, king, and so on. So you have so many options to play and get to the other side and take out your enemy. And one Hungarian brother years ago, we were talking, and he said that life is like this chessboard, and there are so many moves, you cannot figure it out because you don't have 16 players. Is it 16 players on each side, Pastor? Where did I lose, Pastor? Yeah, okay. 16 on each side, but we have 8.7 billion people. And free will and bad decisions and good decisions. And where are you going to end up one day? And why are you alive tonight? Why are you sitting here? But because God is sovereign. But he knows decisions we make. He knows we made bad decisions. We sin. We get disease. We succeed. We go through life, and all of these things are hard for us to figure out. Why does somebody die young? Why does somebody live old? Why is somebody born in America, not in Australia? Why do you get to go to school and somebody's in a refugee camp in Africa? You know, all of these things are beyond us. So I want to just say one simple thing to you tonight. It might relate to the message. It's chapter 30 and verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The word wonderful, we could say, they are beyond my understanding. I can't figure them out. I don't have a formula for that. I don't have a formula for these four things that he's going to mention. It's like beyond me. Like, why does somebody do something really stupid? Turn to your neighbor, just ask them, have you ever done anything really stupid? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? What? All right, wait a minute. Okay. All right, so go back to the text, verse 18. You're having too much fun. Okay, wait. All right, chapter 30, verse 18. There are three things too wonderful for me, yea, which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air. Why is that eagle flying over there and not over there? Why does he land over there? Why is he soaring? Why is he diving? Why is he turning to the right? Why is he going to the left? It's beyond us. But I'm sure people can have comment on it and talk about it. But there is not a formula that we have regarding that phenomenon. Okay, verse 19. The way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Why did the sea captain go over there? Why did he raise a sail? Why did he take it down? Why are the currents carrying it that way? Well, the wind is stronger than we thought. The way of a ship in the sea is beyond me. And that's how life is. We don't have a formula for life. But you might say, I am born again Christian. I have the Spirit of God in me. I have a living God who guides and directs me. He orders our steps. Amen. He helps me make decisions. He helps guide me. He renews my mind. So true. It's called mystery. Life is something you can't figure out. There's too many elements to it. How about the devil? When does the devil show up in your life? What does the devil do in your life? How much authority do you have over the devil? Well, we have all kinds of authority. Do you use it? Do we use it? Sometimes we don't. Do we pray? Sometimes we don't. How does your life go? Do you have a formula for it? And my point tonight, just in this introduction, is there isn't a formula. There is the living God who is your Father, the living God who cares about you and loves you. And the best thing that we can do is fear Him, trust Him, relate to Him, listen to Him. He will guide us. He is the shepherd that'll take us in and out in life. But don't reduce your life to a formula, even a Christian formula, like reading my Bible and saying my prayers and going to church. Very good. There has to be a dimension beyond the activity. There has to be a heart. And I don't have it until I'm born again. And being born again, we have a new heart. Now we walk by faith in God. And God is the one that has given us promises, not formulas, but His presence. Even when you fail, God is for you. Even when your life goes upside down, God is the comforter. Even when we are deeply troubled in our heart, it's like the Lord said, do not fear, do not worry, be anxious for nothing. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. That just as He clothes the field, He will clothe you. Just as He feeds the birds, He will feed you. Just as He cares for life, so He cares for us. Okay? Oh, let's see, Lord, I think You're saying something. I want to make it real simple and clear. I hope You're following it with me. Maybe another way of saying it is, when I become religious, I develop my formula for life. And I just say, you know, I did my duty, I did my things. And so therefore, I will be blessed. How about the prosperity doctrine churches that talk about the Christian being prosperous? But then what do you do with Job when he was a rich man and becomes poor and suffers a lot and the will of God? God is there. Where's our formula when that happens? I did everything right. I don't know what happened. Why did my life turn out like this? No. Life is like this, 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. And what is it that I ought to know? That life is wonderful, mystical, beyond us. It's from the sovereign, almighty God who has everything under His control. And what He dishes out to us and how He leads us and guides us is for us to know Him. And we get to know Him. That's what we ought to know. Not that my formula will work. It may not work the way you and I think it should. It might be actually incredibly deeper, incredibly more wonderful, and so amazing. Sometimes I think I have God in my pocket, and I can use God for my things. And the Lord way has a way of humbling us and reducing us to our knees. And God is not in my pocket. God is above and beyond all of us. And he is the one that we relate to in faith and trust him. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him, Job said in Job 23:10. So where is the formula? It's gone. It's that. Therefore, sometimes we just come before him in our hearts and just say to him, this is hard, Lord, what you've given me to bear. It's hard. It's tough. But you are love. Teach me love. It's tough, but I can be patient, wait on you, and trust you. And the Lord says, how long? I say, Lord, how long? Psalm 42. The Lord says, I will teach you. You will trust me. You trust me. I will teach you. And we can take our small little formulas for life and just put them aside and just be before God, waiting on him and trusting him and becoming some kind of a counselor for others. Others that maybe years ago we would give them the formula. Oh, you're suffering? Here, say these prayers. Oh, you need help? Here, say these Bible verses. Oh, you need do this or do this and you will be healed. And the Lord like may teach us a little deeper and say, I don't have a formula for you. I just know that he loves you. I just know that we can trust him. And may his spirit lead us and show us and give us the freedom and the joy that we have because of him. There's a Proverb 19:13, is it? Yeah. The fear of the Lord tends to life. He shall abide satisfied, and he will not be visited with evil. Three things. Maybe we could put that up. Proverbs 19:13. Oh, wow. It's not it. Wow. That is not it. Wait a minute. Where? Oh, no. Now I got to find it. Oh, no. What is it? Is that verse 23 of 19? Oh, thank you. 19:23. Well, okay, 13. Yeah, okay. The fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has it will abide satisfied. He will not be visited with evil. Okay. So, mystery. I think you got the point. I hope so. Things about life you can't figure out. And this is what the Proverbs are saying. A serpent on a rock, how it moves. There isn't the science on it. Maybe somebody supposes they have one, but that serpent will move and it'll do what it does. And a man with a woman, how do you explain love when a man loves a woman? Why will he do what he does? Or a woman, a man, why? I cannot, that's a mystery. That's something beyond a formula. A ship in the sea, an eagle in the air. The Lord is saying to us, and you know it when you raise a child, you know, clean your bedroom, and they do not do it. Then they do it. And why don't you do it? I ask you to do it because I don't want to do it, and they don't do it. Wow. I thought life was easier than that. Just tell people to do what they're supposed to do and they do it and everything will be fine. No. Life is different than that. It's different. And it's Jesus Christ who came into this world and says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I'm the answer for your life. Trust in me. You will be satisfied. You'll not be visited with evil. Whatever that means, I don't know, but that's what it says. You'll not be visited with evil. I am the way for you. You look for a formula. I am the answer for your life. Yeah, but what if I mess up big time? I am the way, the truth, the life. Well, what if I don't believe you anymore? Well, I know all about that. I know who you are. I am the answer for your life. I am the way, the truth, the life. And that's a beautiful thing. I hope I got that. I think you know that. I think the Spirit is saying it to us. When you raise a family, you don't do it with formulas. You do it with love. When you abide in church life, you don't do it by a formula. You do it in love. When you counsel people, you don't do a formula. You lead them in the Spirit. You do it in love. You teach them life. They come into the body. Do you know that the body of Christ has a therapy in it? There's a fellowship in it. There's something that happens in the body of Christ that renews your mind and helps you figure out life in a better way. We never will figure it out ultimately, but we'll be comfortable in it. We'll have liberty in it. We'll have joy in it because we have God in it. God is the answer. God is what life is about. Love of God is in our hearts. God's heart and mind is in us. So then Pastor Roger Robbins had a great newcomers last night, and I sat with some of the African immigrants, and their stories are amazing. One brother lived in a camp in Africa for 20 years and has five children that were born in the camp, and they said the camp is like hell. It's like hell, and he lived there 20 years. And very humble. These people are very humble. And they love coming here. And I asked, why do you like coming to this church? They said, we don't feel there's any difference between us and anybody else. Amen. We don't feel like it. And these are African immigrants that are coming from virtual poverty, that are immigrated to the United States, and they walk here into our doors, and they sit and listen, and they're with us, and they love it. They love it. They say, your messages are so simple, and your drawings, I think you should go to drawing school. Your drawings are like for children. Stick men. Okay. So I just said, could you repeat again? I just was so much built up listening to these people that just say, and I say it about the body. Of course, this is the Lord. Yeah, we are not judges of people. We love people. We don't have a formula for them or for us. We just know that Jesus is the answer for their life, and they know that. And they listen, and they are learning. And I went to like three or four tables and just listening to these people, asking them questions and talking. And it was precious. And I say that to glorify God in the body of Christ, that our religion is not a tough formula that limits your life to yourself, your activity, your rules, your ways. Our spiritual life is one of open freedom and joy and liberty and understanding that God is bigger than this life. And God prepares us for this life. God will help you in this life. God will fill you with the Spirit. God will enlighten your mind and help you understand His Word and lead you in a life of faith. Okay? Amen. Okay. Let's see. We've got, let's do the offering right now. So, Lord, bless this offering and the people that work hard, that give tithes and offerings to organize their finances to include you, number one, to include you in our giving, that we have 10 potatoes and we bring one to the church. We have 100 chickens and we give 10 chickens to the church. That's what, in some parts of the world, how it goes. But we want you in our practical life, and may you bless this offering. Thank you for the giving and the love. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Just bless us tonight. Just bless this message. Please, Lord, give all of us just hearing ears. I pray for your spirit, Lord. Just fill us. Just show us something. Amen. So tonight I want to just talk very shortly about ministry or ministering. And would we please open to Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to start from verse 9. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us a kingdom of priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Pastor Steve often teaches on this subject of the priesthood. At least I've heard him a couple of times, and how for the duty of the priest, we all think about, you know, just caring for the tabernacle and the house of God and all of those. But in reality, part of their duty was to care for the lepers, to do the unclean things, to do the not so desirable things. And it says that we were made priests, a kingdom of priests, as we also see in 1 Peter 2:9, like, we are priests, all of us. That means we have this amazing duality in our ministry and in our life, how we serve God and we serve in the temple, but we can also do the maybe not so desirable things. And God calls us to that. And when we flip over to Hebrews chapter 13, and I just want to show how, like, these connect. Like, ministering to God, being in the tabernacle, being in the presence of God, and then also ministering to the outcast and the lowest of lows. And okay, Hebrews 13, verse 12. Actually, let's read from 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought to the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. And this is it. Like, this is how the two connect. Like, being in God's presence and caring for being in the lowest places. It says Jesus is outside the camp. Now, if we read through the Pentateuch, outside the camp was not a place of anything nice, things happening. It said they just burned the sacrifices outside. But it says Jesus is there. It says Jesus is there outside the camp. And he says, let us go to him. Let us go to Jesus. And this is how the two connect, of being in the presence of God and also doing the lowly duty, is that Jesus is there. He's there where the lowly duty is. He's outside the camp. And he's calling us, come and be with me. And isn't this like ministering? Like, I think so often I could be in the mindset of like, do, let's do this, let's do that. But John 6 talks about, like, they ask, like, what are the works of God? What should we do? What are the works of God that we could do the works of God? And Jesus answers, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent, the Father has sent. Like, how do I do the works of God? How do I minister? How do I do? I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And he says, like, and we go to him and we're just with Jesus and we're just trying to find his presence, and suddenly we have a ministry. Like, I'm sometimes surprised, like, I can't believe, like, God would use a sinner like me, and then, like, but there's a ministry. And, like, there, like, being here, my last year of Bible college, which is surprising because last week I was a freshman, and I never would have thought, you know, I would be here, or, like, you know, just crazy story. And but then getting to talk to these students, like, we have a lot of freshmen, and that's amazing. And they're just telling me things they're going through, and I'm like, well, yeah, I remember that, like, yeah. And like, we have a ministry, but, like, when I try to do it out of my own, like, okay, like what Pastor Shawa said, I have a formula for this because I've gone through the same stuff. It's terrible. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't give life. Like, if I just, what Pastor Shawa, just, like, give out war verses or whatever, you know, it's like, I can congratulate myself. Like, the Pharisee can do that, you know? Like, but Jesus is like, no, like, you search the law because you think in there you will have life, but you wouldn't come to me. In John 5, when Jesus is calling us to be with me, that's where you will find life. And that's where you will find eternal life, actually. And that's like, you're with me, maybe you're in the outcast, but you're with me and you have a ministry. And just to conclude, will we flip over to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Yeah, let's read a couple of verses here. Starting from verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 17. Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will anoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously. And just two more verses. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, also I will subdue all of your enemies. Furthermore, I tell you that the Lord will build you a house. And I think, like, I see our life like this, maybe ministering. And David had in his heart, in the beginning, he says, I want to build a house for God. Like, I'm living in a great place, but God, I want to build something for God. And God says, no. Number one, I took you from the sheepfold, you from following sheep. And that's, like, what we've been hearing every, like, Sunday night. Like, we were following the course of this world, and then God snatched us out of there. This whole Ephesians. And okay, number one, God says, I take you out from the sheepfold. And two, I'll give you a place to dwell, like a dwelling place. And three, I will build you a house. I can try to do all that I want, just try to work it out. I do this, do that, whatever I'm ministering. But God says, no, like, I'm going to do the work. I will build you a house. And what you have to do, what is the work of God that we should do? Believe on him. How can we minister more effectively is I'm just being with Jesus more and more. And that's out of that will flow this ministry. So, yeah, let's be with Jesus more and more, and then see how he will build his own kingdom and his house. Amen.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Beautiful. Oh, let's wrap that up just by, as he was speaking, I just, wow, that stirred me up. Was that good? Kings, priests, okay. Kings, very privileged. Priests serving in the tabernacle, the blood, lepers coming, getting dirty, being clean, serving. I love that. That's a great picture. So what about you and I? Okay, so let's go over that for a few minutes. I have a short list as he was talking. I was thinking of how the body of Christ ministers and the sure house you mentioned. Could we put up 1 Samuel 25:28? 1 Samuel 25:28 is an awesome verse for us in this regard. He is speaking to David. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly, for my Lord, an enduring house. Make for my Lord an enduring house. And this is Abigail talking to David. You will have a sure house, she's saying to him. You will have a sure house. It's a great idea. Great thought. The house, your family, in other words, your family, there'll be something about David's family. And it was a mess. It was a mess, but his son, grandson, great-grandson, they are the kings, that the house of David is sure. Then comes the Messiah, the Christ. So David is being told, your house, your dynasty is sure. Why? There's two reasons. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. How come David's house is sure? Because David has his eyes and his heart on the things that God cares about. Now, there's a leper over here, like in New Testament, us, 2024, there's a leper. Who are the lepers amongst us? Who are the disenfranchised? Who are the disabled? Who are the people in the nursing homes? Who are the immigrants? Who are the foreigners? Who are the ones that don't speak our language? Who are the ones that are poor? Who are the unborn? Are you for the unborn or not? Well, we are priests. We care about the unborn. Amen. Right? We care about them in the pregnant, in the mother, in the womb of the mother. We care about them. Do not murder them. Do not murder the unborn. We are here. We are fighting the Lord's battles. We are caring for. When Jesus came, he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. So we go to other places. We go to our places here and then abroad. We go, we want to bring the gospel. So the first thing is, you fight the Lord's battles, and evil is not found in you. Can evil be found in you? Can evil be found in me? Can evil be found in my heart? Yes. But by grace, we live by faith, and our new heart operates, and that's the heart of God. That's what's found in us, the heart of God, the Spirit of God. So, Jambore said, let's turn to one other place. It's Matthew 10. And there towards the end, these are great words for us. This is a verse 41 and 42. He that receives a prophet, the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward. Wow. Huh? You could put in there a pastor. He that receives a pastor in the name of a pastor shall receive a pastor's reward. You might not like that, so you can read it this way. It does say that he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. You see, there's a match. There's a righteous man. I receive him in the name of a righteous man. That's me. I receive you in the name of a righteous man. I receive a righteous man. I'll get a righteous man's reward. That's a spiritual law. I receive a healthy group of people in the Spirit of God. I'll get something from them, from God, because God ordained them to be here in Jesus' place, in His place. That's why I take church life seriously. It will be a blessing for me. I will gain something. Like, really, and we have. We have gained something. I have gained something. My wife and I talk about it. We've gained something we could have never produced. Nobody can produce what you have, what you have gained. That comes from God. Amen. You have received it. And it doesn't matter who you are. We're all kind of like on level ground, but we make a decision to relate to God and become what God wants us to be. And the last one there is verse 42. And whoever shall give to drink one of these little ones, what do you mean, little ones, children? You bring them a cup of water, a cup of cold water. That's like the priest, right? What Jean Bor said. The priest, it's like a ministry to the, you know, nobody's noticing. It's a very small thing. It's a very small thing. By the way, your life is filled with very small things that you do every day. But you do them in faith. You do them as a servant because you're a priest. And how much happens by this walk of faith as servants of God. Jesus is saying, if you can't do this to a little one, then you're missing something. Because that's the way I am. Like the way Jesus is washing feet. If you can wash feet, then you are following Him. You are like Him. But we cheat ourselves by seeking after great things. You seek great things. No, we seek Him, and in the many little things, we find ourselves as servants. And in that service, you find your joy, your freedom, and your love. You help me. Here's another proverb. I hope I get it right. Let's try it. So again, a game now. Proverbs 11, 27 maybe. 25. 20. Let's try Proverbs 11, 25. Yeah, there it is. Got it. Yeah, ding, 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 ding. Okay, so the generous soul will be made rich, and he that waters will also be watered himself. So there you are. You give a cup of cold water to a child. You teach them a little class in Sunday school. You sit with them in an event, or you are with them in a classroom, or however that works, and you water them, and then you come away. You are watered. You serve them, and the Lord visits you. The Lord helps us. It's like a way of life for us. So don't despise the day of small things, because God is in these things. He's in the you visited me in prison. When did we do those things? When you did it to my people. When you visited me in the prison, when you taught the children in the Sunday school, when you were out on the street caring for the homeless, you did it unto me. You did it unto me. Well, I never saw you. No, I was there. And you're just following me as a priest, and you're finding the value of ministry and the work of the Spirit in faith. So verse 42, Matthew 10. Whoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. Wow. So we have seen that happen through the years. And many, many of our people that do things we know about, but many people, they do things we don't know about, but they do these things in secret. And our Heavenly Father will see in secret, Matthew 6. He will hear us in secret, and then he will do this blessing on our lives. Verily, I say unto you, he will no wise lose his reward. The reward happens, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, isn't it? Okay, so I mentioned them all, I think. The poor, the children, the unborn, the oppressed, the stranger, the immigrant, the unfortunate, the sinner. Jesus was with them and cares about them. Okay. Lord, thank you for this time tonight and speaking to our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then thinking of the precious people that go far away to reach people with the gospel. And we pray for you, the Lord of the harvest. And then the persecuted church, the month of November. And may you lead us in prayers for our sisters and brothers. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry to them in Pakistan, North Korea, in Arabia, in India, yes, Lord, in China, in Jesus' name, we are priests. We are priests in this troubled world. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.